Sunday morning hymn sing. Does anyone have a
favorite hymn they'd like to start with?
504, first and last.
504, first and last. And which verses? One and two.
Thank you.
anyone else? Becky.
I think we should sing 302 twice. I mean, once during the service and once now.
Okay, which two verses would you like?
First and second.
302. Got time for one more? Anyone? Alita.
How about 577? 1 and 2.
God of grace, God of glory.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. That's beautiful. And perfect for this really beautiful Easter day. And a few days ago, I was wondering what it was going to look like outside, but this is gorgeous. And I am glad to see everyone here today. There will be finger foods and an Easter egg hunt for all ages inside the fellowship hall after worship with coffee, tea, conversation, and other refreshments. Please do join us. Some of my best conversations are right over there. We want to wish happy birthday to everyone for this month. Edna and Deb and Tim, Darlene, Bill, Judith Wheeler, Lorena, David, Charles, and Robert. Did I leave anybody out? Okay. And remember, you get to celebrate the whole month. Always take advantage. The April newsletter is available in the Narthex, and please contact the office if you would like to switch to an email delivery or don't want yours mailed to save postage. I personally do the email, and it works great for me. Excuse me. ICSC, the Interfaith Community Support Center, is struggling to meet the needs of the community, so please donate a little extra if you can. And we do need contributions to support our two Common Hope sponsored children in Guatemala. If you can help with a donation over and above your regular giving, please mark it for Common Hope. Parents' Night Out will be April 25th, that's a Friday, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. It's movie night, and they're showing Because of Winn-Dixie, which I watched when we showed it a couple of months, 2 or 3 months back, and that is a great movie. And it's a great dog, and don't worry. That's all I'm going to say. Don't worry. We know about movies with dogs. On May the 3rd, we'll have a movie, Loving, which is the story of Richard and Mildred Loving, a couple whose arrest for interracial marriage in 1960s Virginia began a legal battle that would end with the Supreme Court's historic 1967 decision. And that is really a very good movie. Are there any other announcements or anything I missed? Okay, if you could stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Rejoice, heavenly power. Sing, choirs of angels. Exult, all creation around God's throne.
Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Rejoice, O Holy Church. Exult in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you.
Echoing the mighty song of all God's people.
And if you would remain standing for our first hymn, number 302, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. And heaven in chorus say, Alleluia. Praise your joys and triumph high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbade him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia. Lines again a glorious hymn. Alleluia. Where all death is now they sing. Alleluia. Once he died for soul to save. Alleluia. Where's thy victory, O stingray? Alleluia.
And now's the time for our joys and concerns.
Passing of the peace.
Oh, that's not in my thing, not in my script. But now, please pass the peace with your neighbor. Hold on there.
Amen.
Sir.
Good morning.
All right. The cross that we see today to be is the prettiest one that I have ever seen for the last 10 years here. And thank you for bringing all the flowers from your garden and whatever places. We will set this one right outside after the worship, so you can take a picture with you and the cross itself. So enjoy the cross after worship. And let's begin with welcoming our faithful worshipers here and wish them a happy Easter as well. Hello, Helen. So good to see you. Hello, Mary. You look very nice with the green and flowers on your shirts. And the Dan is right next to you. We cannot hear. Okay. All right. All right. Happy Easter.
All the people on Zoom, if you need to say something, we're having trouble with the pickup on the, something's changed on the software. So please send me a chat and I'll read it when I get to the back.
Okay. And
Susan, can you let George in?
Oh, Jubix is coming in. Kenny, how are you? Happy Easter. Yes, yeah, so good to see you, Kenny. And happy Easter to June and Joyce and Chris Alicia and George. George, he's going to move to Arkansas to be close to his daughter. So we're going to miss him very much. And he's got some items to donate. So I'm going to go to his place and then check it out and then let you know if there are any items that you may be interested in. I know he has an organ that he'd like to donate, his mother's organ. And if any of you are interested in having a nice organ, let me know. Welcome, welcome.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Well, obviously, Lorraine and Sophie are not here this morning. This blood clot and the treatment for it has really wiped Lorraine out. And she's not used to that. My biggest job is trying to keep her from doing all her usual chores. This past week, we went to see her primary care physician in Redlands. And Lorraine used to be a registered nurse, so she understands a lot about treatments. And she expressed concerns to her doctor about all the scans they're having her do. She says it can't be good to have so much radiation in her. Eisenhower wanted her to get a scan after the first month of treatment. You know, of course, they gave her a scan in there, and then she had the scan for her eyes, and she's due to go to UCLA in July and get another scan. She says she asked her doctor if there's some way she could cut back on the scans, and she looked at all the information from Eisenhower, and she says, your clot is very small. She says, I feel very comfortable just extending your Eliquis, the blood thinner. We'll do that for 3 more months. And she says, by then you'll be at UCLA and they'll be able to do that scan that they have to do for her eye. So thank you, everybody, for asking about her. And I can't get Sophie away from her. So I thought Sophie would want to go to church, but she's staying with Mom. So thank you, everybody, for all your thoughts and prayers.
It is good to be back, yeah, that's for sure. But I want to thank everybody for the prayers and everything. The CT scan came out with nothing really bad. I think they were looking for something, but they didn't find it. But anyway, that wasn't what kept me down, was a severe reaction I had to the antibiotics and then to the contrast stuff that they give you when you do a CT scan. That wasn't good either. So I've been struggling trying to get my energy back and to recover from all this, but thank you so much for your prayers. Prayers are a wonderful thing, and through my family, I know we've struggled with a lot of things, health things, and God's always been there to take care of us, and I'm very grateful. I'm glad to be back to church. Thank you. Thank you.
When I was a youngster, we observed every day during Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And I just want to say, for those of you who were not here on Thursday evening for Maundy Thursday, you missed a lovely, lovely service. And I think on Friday, Good Friday, at the community service, there were two of us from this church and two former members. So I'm bawling you out a little bit, because that too was an absolutely stunning, lovely service.
I'm glad to know that, Becky, that you were young once before.
She's still young. What are you talking about? I'm just going to give everybody a heads up that next week is Charles' 97th birthday, and there may be a celebration. So, next Sunday. I'm going to read Mary's message from Dan. She says, please pray for Dan in fighting health issues and chemotherapy. He thought he could share on Zoom, but he can't make it and is now laying down to rest. Alicia says, happy Easter to everyone. And Kenny Lingle says, please pray for my friend Dawn Klein in Stuart, Florida. She barely made it to the ER last night, and she has heart issues, and she's currently at the Cleveland Clinic. So please keep those in prayer, too.
Now, if you would all join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus.
The entire world was shrouded in darkness until you arrived. The power of sin reigned over us, and we failed miserably, devoid of hope for salvation. Yet, in unconditional love, you bore the weight of our sin and suffered death on our behalf. You forever defeated the old serpent's grip on us by rising from the dead. Our lives are no longer the same. We share in victory and eternal life through your resurrection. In your precious name
we pray.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Lord Jesus Christ, we are coming from many different areas of our life, many different life circumstances, and we know that our loved ones are in some situation that need your help. We need your help as well. So we come to you today as we celebrate your resurrection. Lord, this life doesn't seem to stop giving us trouble. We have fought the life's battle for a long time, and this battle that we have engaged in doesn't seem to end. But, O Lord, as you rose from the dead, we believe in the victory. We believe in the ultimate victory regardless. We may struggle for a while, or while we are still on this earth, but, O Lord, we know that we will be victorious as you rose from the dead victoriously on Easter morning. So bless each and every one of us with this assurance of your promise in our life, that as we trust in you, as we hold on to you, we will be taken care of. You will be there for us. You will carry us through, and you will lead us until the very end. So, Lord, help us celebrate your presence in our life today, that we may be happy and be joyous, knowing that you are with us, and you give us the promise of victory once more on this Easter morning. So, Lord, we thank you for what you did on the rugged cross, and we thank you for the resurrection, because the resurrection is the promise we have received, and we are looking forward to that day that we will be in your paradise and live there forever with you. So, Lord, no matter what we see before us today, no matter the trouble we have, we know that we will all go into the glory that you have prepared for us. So we trust in your presence. We trust in the plan that you have for us. As you have led us this far, you will continue to fulfill your plan that you have upon our journey. So we believe in your plan. We believe that all our loved ones will be taken care of by you. So, Lord, we humbly acknowledge your presence upon our life journey. We humbly accept your will upon us, upon the love our loved ones, upon this church, upon this community, and upon this world today. So we now join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now Deb will take us through, or guide us through, the Young at Heart moments.
Today's story is The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross, the True Story of Why Jesus Died, written by Carl Lafferton, illustrated by Catalina Echeverri. A very long time ago, right here in this world, there was a garden. In the garden, everything was wonderful. The world was full of laughing and playing and smiling and fun. There was nothing bad ever. There was no one sad ever. And best of all, God was there. Hello, Adam. Hello, Eve. He had made it all. He was in charge of it all. He loved it all. People could see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God. Eve, God's here. He wants to walk with us again. How cool is that? Yay, I bet it's going to be even more amazing than yesterday. It was wonderful to live with God. But then, one day, the people did a terrible thing. They decided they didn't want to do what God said. They decided they wanted a world without God in charge. God calls this sin. Sin spoils things. So sin has no place in God's wonderful garden. God said to the people, You can't live with me in my garden anymore. And he sent them outside. To show the people they had to stay outside, God put some warrior angels in front of the garden. The angels were like a big keep out sign. Now things were sometimes bad, and people were sometimes sad, but people still kept sinning because they didn't want God to be in charge. So no one came into God's wonderful place. God said, Because of your sin, you can't come in. God wanted people to remember it is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. So he told the people to build a special building called his temple where he would live. In the middle of the temple was the most wonderful place in the world, the place where God was, with nothing bad and nothing sad. It was very exciting. But then God told people to put a big curtain around this wonderful place. The curtain had pictures of warrior angels on it. It was a big keep out sign. For hundreds of years, the temple curtain reminded people that God said, It is wonderful to live with him, but because of your sin, you can't come in. Babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies, and those babies became grown-ups and had babies. Hundreds of summers and winters passed by, and the keep-out curtain stayed in the temple. Then one day, God the Son came to live in this world as a person. He was called Jesus. Jesus always did what God said. Jesus never sinned. And Jesus visited the temple where the keep-out curtain hung. Jesus knew that things were sometimes bad and sometimes sad. Jesus said that God had sent him to open the way back to God's wonderful place, where there would be nothing bad and no one sad. But people still didn't want to let God be in charge, so they decided to put Jesus on a cross to die. It was the most bad thing that had ever happened. It was the most sad day of all time. But Jesus had a plan. He had always planned to die on the cross. What a strange plan. Why would God's Son plan to die? On the cross, Jesus took our sin. All the bad things we do, all the sad things they cause, Jesus took them all from us. And when he did, something amazing, astonishing, astounding happened. The curtain tore. God had ripped up the keep out sign. God's wonderful place is open again. Because Jesus died, we can go in. After Jesus died, his friends put him in a tomb. They were very sad. For 2 days, nothing happened. Then, the next morning, Jesus' friends went to see his body in the tomb, and it wasn't there. A little later on, Jesus' friends were all together, and suddenly Jesus was there, alive. Suddenly his friends weren't sad. Now they were so, so happy. God had brought Jesus back to life so that he could live in God's wonderful place forever. And Jesus had sent everyone an invitation to come and live with him there too. He tells us, God says it's wonderful to live with him. Because of your sin, you can't come in. But I died on the cross to take your sin, so all my friends can now come in. We can live with God forever. There will be nothing bad and no one sad. We will see God and speak to God and just enjoy being with God, just as he planned. It will be wonderful to live with him, and it's all because of Jesus. We will say every day, thank you, King Jesus, you're amazing. And you can start saying that today. May we all invite Jesus and his Holy Spirit into our hearts to transform our lives for the better. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, I'm dizzy. I can't. So dizzy right now. If I can just sit down, I think you can.
Thank you, Alida. Just sit together. Yeah, pray for Judith. Okay. Let us join together in singing Thine Be the Glory.
Conquering Son, endless is the victory thou of death has won. Angels in bright raiment roll the stone away. Kept a folded grave close where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou of death has won. Lord Jesus meets thee, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets thee, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For our Lord now liveth, death has lost his sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou of death has won. No more without thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son.
So our reading today is from John 20, 19 through 29. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." For the people of God. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Maybe because it's a little bit hot in here, up here. So I just turned the AC on. And Alita, if you don't mind, bring us some water bottle. Go to the kitchen refrigerator, there would be a water bottle there. Yes, great. You'll be all right, Judith.
I think so. I just did not expect that.
I know. It's this area is here always hotter than the lower in the sanctuary. That's why the heat rises up here. That's why I'm always hot. I know a lot of you want to be hot as well. When we have a Wednesday luncheon once a month, I ask people if they want to have a hot and sour soup. It's like they want to prove that they are hot, so they raise their hand, they want a hot and sour soup. So happy to see you here worshiping together. And my heart is so moved to worship with you this morning, and I've been worshiping with you for the last 10 years, and isn't it a wonderful thing that we worship together, celebrating God's presence in our lives? We've been through so much together, and God has proved over and over and over that He is with us. He's a living God, and He will continue to be with us until the very end. Amen? Amen. Amen. So with the assurance of God's presence in our lives, we will continue on, no matter how this life will treat us. God is always there. We can always go to Him and always experience the risen Christ in our lives. So I pray the blessing for the blessing of the risen Christ, each and every one of you worshiping this morning. I know it's so sad to hear some news of our beloved ones, but God is with us, and God will take good care of us. Little Johnny was headed to his friend Timmy's house for the weekend. He packed all his favorite toys into a little red wagon and started pulling it the mile or so down the road. Everything was going smoothly until he got to a big hill. Straining and puffing, Johnny muttered nasty words and said, "This silly wagon is heavier than my homework." Just then, a pastor walking by overheard him. "Johnny," he said kindly, "you shouldn't complain like that. Remember, God hears you. He is everywhere. He is in the trees, he's in the church, he's on the sidewalk, and even right beside you now." Johnny paused, looked at his wagon, then looked up at the pastor. "He's in the wagon too?" "Everywhere means in your wagon too," said the pastor. Johnny nodded seriously. "Well, in that case, tell him it's his turn to pull." The omnipresence of God, which means God is everywhere, presupposes the eternal God. God exists not only at a single point in history, but throughout history and into eternity. Similarly, Emmanuel reflects the eternal God. As God has been with us and will be until the end. Both the omnipresence of God and Emmanuel point to the resurrection of Jesus. We learned last Sunday that the crucifixion inevitably anticipates the resurrection. Jesus is God and never dies. His death was not meant to be the end of his life, but to result in the resurrection. The Apostle Paul spoke of the believer's resurrection after Jesus's and said in 1 Corinthians 15, "For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality." Today we will explore further the inevitability of Jesus's resurrection by studying the names of God and Jesus. In the Old Testament times, names held more significance than mere identification. They were regarded as representations of the individuals themselves. The names of God and Jesus encompass God's character, integrity, and nature. Amazingly, within these divine names lies the essence of God's salvation. Allow me to clarify what I mean. Before we dig in, let me briefly explain what transliteration means. It is the adaptation of native sounds into a different language according to phonetics. When transliterating names into another language, they attempt to spell them the way they sound
in the native tongue. But often, names cannot be transliterated exactly as they are in the original language. This was the case when the Hebrew names in the Old Testament were translated into the Septuagint, that is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Jesus in Greek is transliterated Jesus, right? However, the original Hebrew name was Yeshua or Yehoshua, which translates to Joshua in English. I use the Bible, the thick Bible called the Interlinear Bible. It has the Hebrew, Greek, and English translation in there. And in that Interlinear Bible, the name Joshua is written as a Yehoshua. So Joshua is Jesus that we know, right? So Jesus' Hebrew name is Yehoshua. That's what the Hebrew Bible is written. Do you know what Yehoshua means? That's the name of Jesus in Hebrew. Yehoshua means? Yehoshua is a combination of two words. Yeho, that's Yehovah or Jehovah or Yahweh. That's Yeho is God, right? Shua is salvation. So Yehoshua, Jesus, means God is salvation. So whenever you call, I call Jesus, we say, or we confess, God is my salvation. Or whenever we call Jesus, we invoke God's name and ask God to save us. Now, let's consider the first half of the name Jesus, which represents the name of God. Depending on how we read Hebrew pronunciations, we can read God's name as Yahweh or Jehovah. And if you would, Deb, put the PowerPoint right here. It's truly fascinating that wondrous mystery of Jesus' redemptive work is concealed in the name of God, Yahweh. You may not have seen the Hebrew letter, but this is it. There's a Hebrew name, God, Yahweh there. And I'm going to explain to you what it is. It's easy to remember, and I will help you to understand and remember as well. So the name of God is Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on how you read the Hebrew. And it has four letters, and that's why it's called the tetragrammaton. Tetra means four, gramma means letter, so that's four letters. Tetragrammaton, that's the name of God, Yahweh. Now, next slide. That's the first letter of God's name. And that Hebrew letter is called the Yod. Yod. You know what Yod means? Yod means hand or arm. I'll show you how it becomes. I mean, this is my way of explaining. See that Yod? My hand? It's just like Yod, right? That's what it means, Yod. That means hand. Hebrew Yod means hand, that's what it is. It's also the name of the letter, Yod. Right? Yod. Remember the Yod, hand, just like that. Right? Next one. Thank you. So the Yod and He, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet is called the He. That's He. It's He is not that difficult to understand. If you flip the letter and then put the letter all the way, the line all the way up, that's like a H, right? That's hey, the H pronunciation. But that's called a hey, that's the name of the letter. But also hey in Hebrew means behold, right? Or look. When you call somebody, what do? Hey, look. That's what it is. That's what Hebrew means. Hey, that means. All right, let's go to the next one. That letter is called the Wow or Vav, right? Wow. And Wow also means nail. And guess why it's like, why is it nail? Because it looks like the old, you know, nail. It shapes like nail. So Wow is the name of the letter, but Wow also means nail or hook. So let's go to the next one. Okay. So if you put those together and then get the meaning out of it, Yod Hey means behold hen. The second two sets of the letter, Vav Hey, means behold the nail. The name of God, Yahweh, means behold hand, behold nail. In other words, behold the nail-pierced hand. That's the name of God. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely amazing. The name Yahweh holds the secret of the Messiah's redemptive work on the cross. It reveals that God planned to send the Messiah, Jesus, to be pierced in his hand on the cross to save humankind from sin. Yahweh means behold the nail-pierced hand of the Messiah. What also amazes me is that the short conversation between Jesus and Thomas after the Easter implied the very name of Yahweh. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to the disciples on Easter evening, Thomas was not there. So he said, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nail and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus appeared again and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it on my side." Now, do you see the repeated phrases of "see the nail and the hand"? What do you see in there? Jesus words are in form of the imperative, "See my hand." You see my hand. It's a kind of command, right? See my hand, or see the hand. That's the name of God. What Jesus said to Thomas was the name of God. In a way, Jesus was calling out the name Yahweh with his hand. From another angle, what Jesus said to Thomas was, "I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. See my hand? I am Yahweh." During Old Testament time, God was so holy and no one could approach his presence. His name is so sacred that no one could vocalize the name Yahweh. Anyone who misused God's name deserved capital punishment. They could never read Yahweh, as is written, or call God Yahweh. Instead, they read and call Yahweh Hashem. Ha means the, that's a definite article. Shem means name, the name. You see that Yahweh in there, but they read it, it's not a Yahweh, but they read it as Hashem or Adonai. Adonai means Lord or my Lord. That holy God, Yahweh, became one of us in Jesus so that we could behold him and come near him and touch him. After seeing Jesus' nail-pierced hand, Thomas confessed, "My Lord and my God." Thomas called Jesus my God. Well, Jesus said, "Behold my hand, see my hand, I am Yahweh," and Thomas acknowledged, "My God, you are my God." This means that at the moment Thomas saw Jesus' nail-pierced hand, he realized that Jesus was God. Thomas witnessed in Jesus Yahweh of "Behold the nail-pierced hand." God's salvation was unmistakably evident on Jesus' hand. As God's name tells, Jesus, the Messiah, came and took the sting of Satan in his hand on our behalf in a public display for the world to see and believe. Let me share with you a cute story of a father and a daughter. A vacationing family drives along in their car, windows roll down, enjoying the warm summer breeze of the sunny day. All of a sudden, a big bee darts in the window and starts buzzing around inside the car. A little girl, highly allergic to bee stings, cringes in the back seat. If she is stung, she could die within an hour. "Oh, Daddy," she squeals in terror, "it's a bee. It's going to sting me." The father pulls the car over to a stop and reaches back to try to catch the bee. Buzzing around toward him, the bee bumps against the front windshield, where the father traps it in his fist. Holding it in his closed hand, the father waits for the inevitable sting. The bee stings the father's hand, and in pain, the father lets go of the bee. The bee is loose in the car again. The little girl again panics. "Daddy, it's going to sting me." The father gently says, "No, honey, he's not going to sting you now. Look at my hand." She sees the bee stinger in his hand. Our reaction to Jesus' nail-pierced hand resembles that of Thomas before he encountered the risen Christ. Thomas means twin, and he must have had a twin brother. While we do not know who his twin was, we do know that sometimes we think and act like Thomas's twin. Possibly for two reasons. One reason is fear. The disciples locked the door out of fear of the Jews when they gathered after Easter. Are any of us fearful because of specific individuals in our lives right now? Do they instill fear and rob us of peace? Or are we afraid of troubling circumstances that lead us to doubt God's presence, and we feel left alone to handle our problems in pain? Then hear the message of Easter and do not be afraid. The risen Christ is with us. The second reason may relate to our doubt about the love of God. Just as Thomas questioned the nail mark on Jesus' hand, we question whether Jesus received Satan's sting on our behalf and is alive today. There are billions of people in the world, and we may feel that God's love and care do not include us. We are just like little sparrows. As Jesus said, "It is a blessing to believe without seeing Jesus." But Jesus understands our weakness and is ready to prove his love and presence to us. You know, the name Yahweh is an invitation. "Behold the nail-pierced hand." It's an invitation. If we have doubt, like Thomas did, we just simply need to ask Jesus, because he invites us. He asks us to test him. Try him. And Jesus stands ready to reach out to us with his nail-pierced hand so that we may see and even touch his hand and know that Easter is real and that Jesus loves us and is with us. Amen.
And now is the time for our tithes and giving. You can mail your tithe into the church, and we also have a plate in the back if you would like to leave your tithe there. Thank you. Our offertory is Sing an Easter Alleluia.
Blessings flow, praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, we celebrate our life before you because you are the one who took away our sins on that rugged cross. You are the one who rose victoriously from the dead and promised us the victory with you. So we thank you for what you did and for who you are. We give you this offering of thanksgiving and praise to glorify you and commit our lives to love you and serve you until the end. So bless us and bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn will be He Lives, number 310.
I know that he is living, whatever foes may say. I see his hand of Paul Gary. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, and search unto him part. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grow weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me and how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find.
None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful celebration of Easter this morning. And whenever we are challenged by so many difficult life circumstances, may we look into our hearts and find you right there, that we may boldly confess you live within our heart. So, Lord, with this assurance of your resurrection, we will go back and face whatever the challenges that this life brings and be victorious. Send us forth, O Lord Jesus, with your empowerment of your Holy Spirit and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true.
Good, good. I'm glad. I'm glad.
God will be there. What am I about? Oh, now in peace, in faith.
Yes, yes, yes.